Welcome to the Live Up podcast, where we revisit the movies from our youth to see if they live up. Quick note on how this episode will go. We'll review, discuss, and score whether the movie in question lives up to us now as adults and whether it lives up to the intended audience, kids today. And I will say thank you to our new listeners and for everybody else. Please like us, share us, leave a review in your podcast listening app of choice. That would be awesome. Enough of the admin. That's boring. But what's not boring is this episode. So I'm Jess Latterman.
And I'm Amanda Treat. On today's episode, we have a Robin Hood who can speak with a British accent. But he's a fox. It's the 1973 Robin Hood from Disney.
You know, I didn't read your joke at the beginning in the script. And, you know, that was funny. That was good.
Meanwhile, in the background, my dog just hit her head on the wall really hard.
Oh, no. I'll leave it in. We won't edit it out. Sorry.
You know, a few brain cells are lost during the intro, but, you know, it's all good. Hey, this movie was my pick. Oh, our last two reviews were movies that were targeted more towards, like, 1980s teens and adults that we just happened to watch as kids. And specifically, that was Mad Max and Overboard. Those are not for five-year-olds. I wanted us to review an actual kids movie that I had watched as a kid. We used to watch a ton of Disney movies, but back in the 1980s, a lot of those Disney movies could be really hit or miss, because I remember, like, The Little Mermaid came out and it was mind-blowingly awesome compared to all these Disney movies we'd been watching at that era.
I wonder if Robin Hood was, like, sort of, at least for me, like, the last of this era before I was watching them in the actual theaters. Because this was 1973.
We were watching them out of order.
I kind of associate Robin Hood with the era of movies like Winnie the Pooh, Jungle Book, Aristocats, Sword in the Stone.
Yes.
And you have some of the same voice actors.
Sword in the Stone was later. I think that was 80s.
Oh, okay. I think as a kid, I watched those all around the same time.
Yeah,
but it's like pre the era of those of our age that would watch in the theater, basically.
Yeah. Some of the other ones that we were being shown as a kid were kind of weird or even boring. Like, we had a copy of Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and I remember we started and turned it off so many times because the intro of that movie is just this long slog to get to anything fun.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
I remember, I couldn't even tell you what this movie's about other than there's a boy named Pete and there's a dragon. But Pete's Dragon, I remember that was a really slow build-up. And it was...
I haven't seen that one either.
I think we turned it off a lot. Yeah, and these are all, like, not memorable Disney movies, but that's what we had at the time.
Are you foreshadowing how you feel about Robin Hood with this line?
No, so that's... This is why I picked it, because I have a memory of, you know, we had all those Disney clamshells lined up on our shelf that we could pop into the VHS player anytime we liked. My memory was that Robin Hood was one of the good ones. Mm. I was worried it was going to be annoying for grown-ups, because so many of these other movies just, oh my god, like, even something like The Fox and the Hound, I re-watched that with my nephew probably like 10 years ago, and it was awful. Yeah. Like, oh, what are we doing here, Disney? So I needed to know, does Robin Hood live up? Like, I want it to really badly, but I wasn't sure going in. So this is where we are. I'm a middle-aged adult with, like, a job and a mortgage, and I haven't seen this in 30 years, so.
You're not a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed five-year-old watching this.
No.
Yeah, no, it's interesting how you're articulating where this was sort of like the starter movie, and then you remember that movies got better. I did have a similar conversation with Lily, who's 11, my daughter. Now, obviously, we've watched this with our kids more than once, and I think she's getting to the age now where she understands that she'll still watch this because it's one that she could agree with her younger brother to watch. It's, like, acceptable to her. But she's like, oh, but I like movies like Raya better. Raya being a movie from 2020 or 2021. So sort of similar to what you were saying about Little Mermaid. Once a better one comes along, you sort of are of the age where you start to realize, like, there are movies that have more sophisticated plots that are still kids' movies. So,
yeah.
So this is one of the, you know, I was happy that you chose this as one of the movies targeted towards younger kids, because parents do end up, or even with nephews or whoever, you end up rewatching this because it's sort of I think Robin Hood is an introduction to the whole, there's a whole canon of, there's a whole slew of Robin Hood movies.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to do all of them. Those are future episodes.
I'm excited for all of them.
Chronologically, this is the first one that we saw. This was our entree into the Robin Hood legend. There's kids' movies today that they, you know, especially the Pixar ones, they're building a lot of adult humor in it.
Yeah.
And it's figured out how to be good for both audiences, kids and adults. And so I really was not sure how this one was going to play out. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed it's not annoying.
We'll find out. Yeah, and I do remember watching this one as a kid and liking it. And it's definitely the first entryway into Robin Hood movies. So by the time I had seen Prince of Thieves or Men in Tights, I knew what Robin Hood was because I had seen this movie a lot. I didn't even realize that King John was a real person, I guess, until like middle school or high school. And when you're learning about that in school, I have the lion character in my head. Like, he's a lion. He's not a real person. He's just a lion who sucks his thumb. So from this movie.
I mean, that's really good history.
It is really good.
It's like learning about Queen Charlotte from Bridgerton. It's about that level of accuracy.
Yeah, so, and I have to say I was a little skeptical watching this as a parent. My kids started watching this during the pandemic in 2020. So my kids at the time were 8 and 3, oh my God, or 4 and 9, which makes me want to like tear my hair out. But anyway, and we, you know, a day where like Elaine and I, my wife and I had like a ton of meetings. So we're like, you know what? You could just like watch movies, like whatever. We just need you to like,
here's the Disney password.
Go. Yeah. Just, you have to agree and leave us alone and not fight. And they started arguing, and it was Elena who was like, you know what? I'm going to choose the movie. And she chose this one because she thought, okay, this seems like it can't offend anybody. But since that, they actually went back to it a lot during the pandemic. So even rewatching this now for this podcast, I could tell now that it's been a few years, and so my daughter, her attention span could wane a little bit because it's targeted towards younger kids, but it's definitely a go-to, and it became a go-to during that time. And even though we could say that some older Disney movies are not as good sometimes, or the ones targeted towards younger kids are tedious, there's a positive to the simplicity sometimes for these stories. So that's my long history with this movie.
You look very tired talking about this. Like, remember the pandemic when your kids watch this movie? That is the appropriate 1980s way to watch one of these movies, though.
That's
the second
true.
Your parents got the VHS player and you had a copy of one of these Disney movies, yes, you just rewind it and start it over again, and then rewind it and start over again. And that is why my mother nearly lost her mind over that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie. Because we would play it 3 or 4 times in a row, and you'd just hear, nee! And she, like, her head would explode.
I mean, so, yes. My head exploded watching that as an adult. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's ultimately the question today. Is Robin Hood a memory I have of something that's as annoying as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I really, really hope it's not.
We'll find out.
And we are talking today about roosters that sing and foxes and a little bunny rabbit that shoots Prince John in the ass with an arrow and doesn't get his head chopped off. You can do that here. This is Disney's Robin Hood. Jess, would you care to give one of your amazing plot summaries?
Sure. I do think that everyone knows the story of Robin Hood, but I'll give it a whirl. So I felt like this movie teaches kids that taxes are corrupt, that archery is cool, and that foxes could be friends with bears and rabbits. So that's pretty much the overview. At least it was my first introduction to the idea of taxes when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't think I would have known what taxes were until
The Sheriff of Nottingham. I think Robin Hood is the OG of class warfare stories, and we like class warfare stories on this podcast. We
really
do a lot of them.
Class warfare.
We do a lot of them. A little bit the OG of archery is cool, way before Katniss and the Hunger Games. Yeah, I think everyone knows the Robin Hood story. I mean, I think in this one in particular, Robin Hood is more of a rascal, dashing character, very simple hero. But yep, taxes are bad, archery's cool. That's your plot summary for you.
And you can shoot the royal family in the butt.
And you can shoot the royal family in the butt. Yeah, it's always a winner.
Well, right out of the quiver.
Good dad joke. I like it.
So many good dad jokes. To answer the question of whether this movie is annoying to adults, the first thing I looked at was the runtime, and I saw 83 minutes and was like, hell yes.
Thumbs up.
This is very adult friendly.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before on this podcast that a kid's movie should be short, and this one is
yes.
short. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, this leaves me with so much time to get back to complaining about grown-up things like jobs and mortgages and trash night. Does the dishwasher need replacing? And ow, my ankle and oh, my back. Yes, we have so much time left to do that. The opening credit sequence, the second that started playing, it took me right back to watching this movie 10 times a week. It starts with a book that opens, and it's The Legend of Robin Hood, and it's got the backstory written out almost like Prince of Thieves writes out the opening credits over parchment. But this is a Disney movie, and they realize very quickly that their audience is a bunch of children who can't read. So they have a chicken come in and take over the narrating.
I mean, of course. Yeah.
Why wouldn't a chicken be narrating this? And singing.
And singing. So, I liked the singing.
I did too, actually. Like, subtle enough, but the songs are kind of catchy. I wouldn't put them in, like, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast territory, but, you know, you could whistle along.
It's not very flashy. It has, like, the song quality is very bluegrass, Appalachia, I guess, which is kind of, I guess,
yeah,
weird
folksy,
that this is a British.
Yeah.
That this is a British story.
Well, that's actually one of the interesting things, like, for all, like, heat that Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves got, because Kevin Costner wasn't even trying to do a British accent.
That's right.
But this movie, half of them do have a British accent, half of them don't.
Yeah, Little John is a total American.
Lady Cluck is Scottish, and it's like, all right, you know, maybe that's the thing, but, like, they don't care who's doing what. You get to see a parade of all the characters past the opening credits. And, like, I think that's kind of just a fun, cute way to start this movie.
You know, with kids who don't know the Robin Hood story, and this will essentially be their first viewing of it, it gives a really quick, animated, good overview, which I think Disney's really good at. So, yeah, no, my kids really like that. And especially my son, who's 6, and I guess he was 4 when he first watched this movie. No, he likes it, and then he could understand it moving forward. I like that it's not flashy. I think there's sometimes a quality of the older Disneys that's still, they still resonate in their simplicity, and they still kind of work for kids. They yeah. really don't need the flash.
Good opening.
Good opening. Yeah, it is. Because this is a short Disney movie, we're going to not necessarily take it character by character like we typically do. So we'll probably go more by section.
Give it the Mad Max treatment.
Oh, no, not the Mad Max treatment.
Let's do it by plot, chronologically.
But this is couldn't be more different than Mad Max.
It is, yeah, a little bit different tonally.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say for the opening, again, it just gets you right into it. And I did watch this with my kids again, and they were excited to watch this with me again, even though they maybe haven't seen it in a little bit. So it definitely kind of, as soon as you hear those chords of the banjo, you know, they just settle in and get cozy, which is kind of, it's kind of cute.
Good call, Jess's kids. Good call. All right, so it starts off, once we get through the parade of all the characters in the first song there, you get the Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest song, which you see immediately, like, you don't know what they did.
Right, but you know that they're running from something.
You see this fox and you see this bear getting shot at, and they're running through the woods, but they don't seem too worried about it. In a tree, and it's very clear right off the bat, we're cheering for these two. We're not cheering for the wolf.
One funny thing about the beginning of them running through the forest is that kids these days have started watching the Tom and Jerry cartoons again. I don't know if you know that, but they're on Netflix now, and I don't know how they find this stuff.
I didn't know that. But
there's definitely, I mean, it looks just, you know, it's the same kind of simple, dumb cartoon stuff. So my kids now, I think they even mentioned this time around viewing it, that it kind of reminded them of Tom and Jerry because they've started watching it. So again, it's that appeal of to kids of even kind of the older cartoons that still work, even right from the beginning, even though it's old school in a weird meta way, kids now could be like, oh, that's just like Tom and Jerry, which is also an old school cartoon.
Well, no, but I think at the time they were making this movie, they're seeing the rise of these other style cartoons. You know, like, Disney was dominant for so long, and oh,
that's true.
So beautiful. Like, look at the elegance of Snow White, and look at their colors, and their movements are so great. But meanwhile, you have the Flintstones popping out, and you've got Tom and Jerry, you've got all of the Warner Brothers cartoons. This Robin Hood movie feels like a departure from the traditional Disney style.
It is
more slapsticky.
Yeah.
It is more violent. Like, we keep joking about Skippy the Bunny shooting an arrow into someone's butt, but, like, the old Disney movies never would have done that. This is silly, and it's fun, and it's chaos, and I love that they're doing that here.
Yeah.
So good for them. Good for the kids spotting that this feels like Tom and Jerry. Because, yes, the opening has that the silliness of a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's just a random American bear up in a tree with a British fox, and they're chatting.
And the voice of Little John is this, it's the same voice of Baloo in Jungle Book.
Yeah.
So it's a very distinct baritone voice.
These characters, he looks like Baloo the bear.
He does look like Baloo the bear. Jungle Book. Yeah.
They just redrew him. And
same voice actor.
Different shade of brown.
Yeah.
But it works. I mean, I think he's a really good sidekick. And Robin sounds so proper with his British accent, but he just, everything he's saying is super reckless. But because it's with a British accent, you're like, oh no, it sounds very scholarly coming out of him.
You know, Disney presents him as kind of this rascally, dashing version of Robin Hood, which isn't present in the other two movies you mentioned, like Men in Tights or Prince of Thieves. They're a little bit more introspective. Yeah. And you know, so, you know,
I think Carrie Ells is a little.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, he's he's like a satire of it, though. But
he is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think even my daughter noted that she felt like he was a boring hero. I mean,
oh, no.
This is my daughter as age 11. I think at age 8 she wouldn't have articulated that, but she was just like, "Oh, Robin Hood is just okay." But compared to Raya or compared to Moana, you know, not as exciting. I think that's a little bit of a maturity difference, I think, between age 8 when she watched it and 11. But yeah, he's dashing, but Little John is really funny. And I do like their banter. Their banter is very, it's not bro or anything like, but it's
no.
It's like how two friends would talk. It's more conversational. It's fun.
I do want to say the first time I was in England with my sister, and she was just flabbergasted at how smart even the dumbest people sounded with their British accents. And she said this to me. And she pointed at this tiny child and was like, even that kid's going to sound like a genius compared to us with our stupid American accents. And at that exact moment, this little girl goes, "Mommy, I gotta go to the loo." And my sister was just like, "See that? That was genius." I think the British accent buys Robin a little more like grace and charm. Like if they'd had an American doing those lines, it might not have sounded as like dashing as he does with his British accent.
Having I almost called him Baloo, that's funny. Having Little John have basically just a straight up American accent, it kind of works.
He just sounds so friendly and like folksy, and I don't know,
and maybe a little dumb, but that's okay.
And a little dumb, and he's the sidekick, and that's all good. It's all good. So after they have a little bit of a chat in the tree, they hear like the royal march in the distance, and Robin immediately realizes, oh, Prince John's in town. We gotta go rob this guy. And Little John is kind of like pushing back a little bit, but what they ultimately do is both dress up like lady fortune tellers and flag them down on the side of the road. And to me, there's something so funny about Little John dressed up, yelling in his deep voice, fortunes, forecasts, lucky charms. Like, he's not even trying. He sounds like he's selling popcorn at a baseball game or something. Fortunes, forecast, lucky charms. Like, it just, there's nothing even attempting to sound like a woman. It's so funny to me still. Like, that used to crack me up as a kid. Dude.
Like, he's hawking Cracker Jacks at a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, that's kind of a funny gag. And like, you know, they go in, they pretend to be fortune tellers as they're like slowly like, slipping rings off of Prince John's fingers. And Hiss, who's the side character to Prince John, the snake, is suspicious, so they're like, they're like tying him in knots in the background. It still resonates with kids. I still kind of find it fun, and still that image of Prince John, like when he's just sort of an idiot, that I still thought of that in high school when I was learning about the real King John.
Learn your British history. Prince John.
Prince John is an idiot.
The brother of King Richard, and they were both lions, but Prince John's head wasn't as big and he didn't have a mane. Yes, we've learned a lot here.
We did, What I do think is funny is that when he sucks his, when Prince John realizes he gets robbed and he's like, "Mommy," and he like sucks his thumb, and it's kind of funny. My kids find it funny, but I actually also now find it funny as an adult because I know that his mom is Eleanor of Aquitaine, which is like one of the better known queens of England, and I just think that's funny.
Wouldn't have stood for that at all.
So I just think that's also funny.
I think it's a great way to make him completely unable to rule. You know, that this guy just falls to pieces, but it's done in a way that children understand. If a kid did that on the playground, other kids would be like, "Oh, come on."
Yeah.
you're being a baby. He's doing it as an adult. Ugh, you man child or lion child. I don't even know what
you call it. Cub child? I don't know.
You lion cub, you. So yeah, you get to meet Prince John and Sir Hiss, and Prince John is like a very abusive boss, but we were talking about how they do this in a Tom and Jerry style. So all of this abuse, this like hitting Sir Hiss over the head with things, tying him in knots, throwing him into baskets or barrels, and he just gets so physically abused. But you don't like the character, and it's a cartoon, so you're like, ah, it's funny. Like,
it reminded me of Jafar. And is it Iago? The bird?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he gets beat up a little bit.
Yeah, it felt like a precursor to Iago, I guess. Yeah, or even Maleficent with her crows. Although Maleficent likes her crows.
Yeah, she doesn't, I don't remember
She's not abusing them to her to the crows. Degree that, yeah. Call PETA.
Have you seen what this lion's doing to the snake?
That's fine.
I'm not sure.
No one likes snakes.
All right, since we're on the topic of animals, in this movie, the animals are partnering up with their own species, even though they're all, like, the wrong heights. When Marion comes onto the scene, you're like, oh, well, she's a fox. Like, she and Robin Hood have to
be
together.
Right, yeah, she can't be
like,
with anybody
foxes
else.
Foxes go with foxes, right. And the church mouse is married to a lady church mouse, and the bunnies are all bunnies. Marion's supposed to be the cousin of the king.
Oh, that's right.
So there is some... Cause
there's some lion on fox.
Fox, there's some interspecies thing going on there. And like, I don't know what it is.
That's right. I forgot that she's supposed to be the cousin of the king.
Yeah, no, I mean, just some cross-species interaction happened there. And, you know, all right, we don't want to see it, Disney, but just pointing out that you have it in your movie.
That's really funny. I never even thought about that. The one thing, just to skip around to, like, the love story between Maid Marian and Robin Hood. You know, there's a love story there, but it's not really the main focus of the movie. So I almost think that made it a little bit better. Unlike the Sleeping Beauties and things like that. It's like, the love story is there, but it's really, really class warfare is really the movie. Not that.
Oh, yeah. Let's keep the focus on the class warfare.
Yeah.
It's part of the legend, but it's always bugged me. Like, Maid Marian is a useless character. She's supposed to be pretty and she's supposed to be nice, but in the moments where they're actually fighting, she either disappears or she is just yelling help and running in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But there's a whole plot point that comes a little bit after they rob Prince John, where Prince John sets up an archery tournament. Part of the prize is that she's going to give a kiss to the winner. And I'm like, how dumb is she? Like, she has Robin's reward poster hanging on her bedroom door. Which is cute, like, it's, you know, the way a teenage girl would put a poster on their wall. But, like, she knows he's a wanted man, and she's offering herself up, like, I'm gonna give a kiss, and that's the prize at this archery contest. And the guy I like is really into archery, but also, they're totally gonna catch him, because he's gonna come and try to win the kiss. I don't know, I just feel like she's been weaponized in, like, that dumbest possible way.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think that Maid Marian in all Robin Hood movies always falls flat for me. I'd say even rewatching this as an adult now, I almost just gloss over her. I don't even notice her enough to get annoyed at those things. She really much barely resonates with my kids. Barely.
Yeah. That's, I noticed this feeling when they get towards the end and like plan a heist. She just disappears. And
it's that's like, true. Where did she go?
She used to live in this castle that you're robbing. And is she like hanging out in the woods waiting for it? Where did she go? So yeah, they just like write her out at their convenience.
I mean, this is like the classic damsel in distress kind of role. There's no Marion Ravenwood going on here.
No.
Yeah. Or Princess Leia or things like that. Yeah. So it's definitely like, eh. From that perspective.
She throws a pie at one of the
bad guys.
That's true. That is her one defensive maneuver. She throws a pie.
It didn't overtly bother me that much, the way that maybe in some other...
No, and I think it's part of the legend. It's just like, Robin has a crush on her. He eventually marries her. Yay!
And like, it's just sort of like the... To me, it's like that's the sideshow. Like, the real thing is Prince John versus Robin Hood and Little John. That's the main thing, and like that you throw in this love story, but nobody really cares about the love story. And I'll even say, even my son like hid his hands behind his face during like any kind of lovey-dovey scene because he just doesn't give a shit about it.
After the robbing of Prince John, we get to meet the Sheriff of Nottingham, who popped up earlier when he was
classic
chasing Robin
villain
for us, but didn't have any lines at that point. And he's actually a very jolly kind of villain. Like, he doesn't seem sinister. He's just kind of a, I'm a big dude doing my job, like, just strolling around.
He's like a middle management villain.
It's just like, I work for the tax collection. Nobody's ever going to like me, so just roll with the punches and sing a little song and go around, do your thing. A scene pretty early on where he shows up at Skippy the Rabbit's birthday party and takes his birthday present as taxes, and I remember that hitting home so quickly.
Oh, sure.
Like, no, you can't take a birthday present. Oh my God, no.
Is that when you learn that taxes are bad?
Yeah, because they send a wolf to your house
to take your birthday presents. That's taxes.
Awful. My adult viewing of this reminded me of those bits Jimmy Kimmel does at Halloween where he has parents record themselves telling
the kids that they ate their candy.
That they ate all the Halloween candy, and you just see the kids like, like, that is what this scene felt like. Like, you suddenly have this really, really bad, like, mean sheriff opinion of him that comes on so quickly because he takes that birthday present from the little rabbit. I think that was smoothly done. That was a really quick way to make all the children watching this movie hate that character, even though he is just doing his job.
You know, though, as far as villains go, he, like, sucks more than other villains. Because, you know, I guess the worst kind of villain is some sort of bureaucrat villain. I'm thinking of other Disney movies around this time. Like, Maleficent is a great villain.
Oh, and, like, she has a reason to be angry.
But even without the backstory, she's a good villain. I mean, this is fast-forwarding at least a decade, but Ursula is a great villain in Little Mermaid. So you have these really interesting villains. And Sheriff of Nottingham kind of reminds me of Professor Umbridge from Harry Potter. Like, she's just the bureaucrat villain. She sucks.
Yeah. Now, he even has a song that's, I think the lyrics are, they call me a slob, but I'm just doing my
job. Oh, yeah, that's right. It sounds like you're defending the tax collector, Amanda.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just saying that doesn't come across as menacing to me, I think is what I meant. From the birthday party that does get turned around because Robin Hood shows up and gives him, it arms the children, basically.
He does. Like, Happy birthday. Here's a weapon.
Here's a weapon.
Every parent's
Don't
dream.
Don't kill anyone. So the kids immediately shoot an arrow over the castle wall by accident. Like, could have killed someone, but they didn't.
That's so like the typical bachelor present that some asshole bachelor gets.
Your crazy uncle just gave you a bow and arrow for your 7th birthday. Try not to kill
anyone. It's the same asshole who gets toys that make a lot of noise.
Oh, I do that.
You
for
do
my
that?
Nephews.
Well, are you getting them a bow and arrow?
That's my
next
role. Well,
you're like, I'll think about it.
Yeah, we got a couple years before my nephew turns 7. But
yeah, it's on the list.
We'll work up to that. Maybe like some throwing stars when he's 5 and then like a spear when he's 6. We'll work up to it.
Like the scene, though, when the kids, you know, end up in the backyard. I guess Prince John's castle with Maid Marian and Cluck. Cluck? What's her name?
Lady Cluck. Which I like because I think it's a pun, right? Like, it's like Lady Luck, but
oh my
it's
God,
Lady Cluck.
I didn't even think of that. But Lady Cluck is amazing.
Lady Cluck is the best
Absolutely.
Character. And since they already introduced a level of cross-species hooking up, like, I really wanted her and Little John to get
they
together.
They would be awesome
Can you
together.
Imagine them, like, fighting crime and being sassy?
Yeah, Disney, I'd like you to make this movie. Thanks.
We need a spinoff of Lady Cluck and Little John running through the forest with sarcasm.
So I like Lady Cluck a lot. She's funny and she fights the bad guys at some point.
Yeah, she is so
but
feisty.
My son loves her too. He told me before we started watching this movie, he's like, Lady Cluck is my favorite.
When they get into trouble at the archery tournament, I mean, she goes Hulk smash on them. They do like a football montage of her knocking.
Oh yeah, this is why my son loves her.
She gets to be violent. It's awesome. I think with the little kids, so we've got a couple of kids from the rabbit family and then their friend Toby the turtle. There's just enough of the children in there that it's not annoying. Like, especially that baby rabbit who's talking with like a baby voice. That would have really annoyed the heck out of me if they'd left that kid in there for like 5 minutes. But they just let him have a few lines and they get rid of him.
The one funny thing we were talking about interspecies with the baby rabbit is that wouldn't the fox just eat the rabbit? I mean, that baby rabbit would be
in real life,
sort of a tasty snack for Robin Hood the fox.
Oh, you've got a den with like a million rabbits in it and a fox just bursts through the door after a wolf has burst through the door. Like, there's no way.
That baby talking rabbit's gone.
Really.
Delicious.
There's a really funny line, like the kids being kids are, they're not annoying Marion, she's being very nice, but they're asking all the very rude questions that only children ask. One of them is like, are you and Robin Hood gonna have babies? And the little rabbit goes, my mother has a lot of babies. I love that line. Yeah. Because when they showed the birthday party, it was like,
there's a lot of kids.
She does have a lot of kids in this little rabbit.
No, bird. I thought that line was funny.
Well, let's talk about the archery tournament. We've mentioned that Marion's kind of weaponized herself.
The one funny thing I thought in the scene is that you have Little John, and Little John's job is basically to distract Prince John from the fact that this might be Robin Hood instead of Robin Hood in disguise. And he basically plays it like obnoxious new money sitting like in some fucking box of a British polo match. And I think it's so funny. Like, that's where the American accent's great.
He's such a schmoozer. And he's dressed ridiculously. Like fluorescent pink pantaloons or whatever.
Yeah, it's like he's new money.
Tiny hat. He has a tiny hat.
Yeah. He's a teeny...
But he... That's right. Comes strolling up. He introduces himself as Sir Reginald, Duke of Chutney. And, like, as a kid, my Aunt Brenda used to make chutney. So I was like, that's so funny that somebody could be the Duke of Chutney. But it's like being the Earl of Sandwich. It's just as ridiculous.
But it's just so funny because he's specifically talking in such a not high-class British way. And that's what struck me as hilarious with the American accent. And he's just like calling Prince John PJ. He's just...
So Prince John's like, yeah.
He's like, I like right this here. Guy.
Like, new best friend. Yeah. Put PJ on my pajamas. I love that line.
I know.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, so that cracked me up. Like, Little John is the obnoxious American was funny.
And then, so Sir Hiss is very suspicious, and he's somehow inflated a balloon with his breath to fly. He's, I guess, made of helium. Whatever. We look past these things. This is all slapsticky. But you've got Friar Tuck chasing him around, trying to catch the snake out of the air, because he notices he's up to something. They, like, shoot him down and shove him in an ale barrel. And this last comment is like, no, I don't drink!
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That's funny.
So then you get the snake drunk, and he reappears at the end of the scene, like, completely shit-faced. And I thought that was funny.
That, you know, I think when I was a child, I didn't understand that at all.
I don't remember not knowing what that meant. Yeah, just the idea of getting a snake drunk.
I know.
Still very funny.
I don't think I'd ever want to encounter a drunk snake. That sounds terrifying, actually.
I mean, he just was completely out of it. He was a useless drunk snake.
So. Yeah. This whole chaotic scene was, you know, fun to my kids as
they were
younger.
Yeah, it just devolves.
And I think it's short enough that it's not annoying for adults. Like, I don't feel annoyed by this scene.
I think if it had gone on, like, 5 minutes longer, it would have been too much ridiculous. But they pile all the rhinos into a tent, and then the tent starts running, and, like...
Yeah, there's all, like, the classic gags.
There's so many people getting stabbed in the butt in this scene, and, like, that's kind of beneath Disney, but perfect for this movie.
Kids like a little stab in the butt to watch. That sounds really
just
creepy.
Poke a rhino in the butt and see what happens. They just knocked a whole tower down with some elephants in it. Like, there's just like bodies sprawling all over the field now. All right, so they go from the scene of complete chaos at the end of the archery tournament, like destroy a few buildings, injure everybody involved. The one cool thing, though, it does finally show where Robin Hood and Little John have been hiding out. They have a waterfall blocking the entrance to their hideout, and I always thought that was super cool. Like, I wanted a secret place that's hidden behind a waterfall, except they've told the whole town where it is, because when they go through, everybody's there waiting for them.
Yeah, and they have, like, that little party in the forest. They basically stage a puppet show that then recreates the chaotic scene at the archery tournament, which was, like, kind of actually a good device to get young kids to kind of re-explain the plot to them, or at least re-explain, like, this is where we are in the plot, kids.
I remember thinking as a kid that this movie was actually, like, two parts. The way, because I think right around the same time, I was probably watching the Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah. Similar era, 70s.
And, like, that's done in chapters. Yeah. So they start something and finish it, and then there's a different story and they start it and they finish it. It's almost like sitcom-y the way they've laid that out. After the archery tournament, that's one movie and it stops. And then, okay, this is the start of a second movie. Which, it's not what it's doing, but it might as well. Because you could have stopped right there and everyone lives happily ever after. Okay, we're done with the first movie.
That's so true. Yeah, it does feel very chapter-like. But again, this is where I sort of was like looking at my watch. But like, okay.
Yeah. 83 minutes. I love this movie.
I mean, I feel like I'm making it sound like it's a bad movie. It's really not.
It's just very wrapped up right in the middle here. Like, they're just hanging out, having a party in the woods. Yeah. Bunch of rabbits and some badgers and some foxes and a bear. No one gets eaten.
We're singing. So it's a win.
Yay.
Yeah. But I do think, you know, the next part is kind of fun when everyone gets arrested. The dark parts.
So then it takes a very dark turn because they've written this fun little song, and it is kind of a fun song. Like, it's such a catchy song that the sheriff's walking around singing it now because he likes to sing as he's collecting taxes. He teaches it to Sir Hiss, and then Prince John hears about it and is super angry. So now vengeance is his. He's gonna tax
The song? Tell us the song. Because this is one of my favorite parts.
Oh, I don't remember all the
lyrics. It's something like King John.
Too late to be known as John the First. He's sure to be known as John the Worst. And then like a string of insults. something, phony King of England.
But the King John soon to be known as John the First, soon to be known as John the Worst. I actually really thought this was funny as an adult. The scene when Prince John basically overhears Hiss and Monningham singing it. That has happened to kind of all of us. And like, it reminded me of like, okay, if I slack someone something snarky in all staff meeting and I realize it went to everybody, like, and everyone could see it, like, it sort of reminded me of that, since Prince John overheard it and gets really mad. But it was kind of funny.
My favorite line in this, he's yelling and screaming, we're gonna tax them, like, triple the taxes. And then his final line is, squeeze every last drop out of those insolent but musical peasants.
Yeah, that makes funny.
The way he gives the pause, like, musical. Oh, kudos, it was a good song.
And it's just reinforcing that taxes are corrupt, I guess. And this is where the class warfare really comes into play.
Class warfare goes up a level.
It does.
The sky turns gray, it's raining, and everybody's getting arrested and foreclosed on. That's how I learned what foreclosing and mortgages were, too. Yeah, like,
so funny. Yeah, and you have, like, everyone's in jail.
Yeah, it's everyone we've saw in all the earlier scenes. They're in there. The guy with the broken leg still has his broken leg. And the, like, elderly little owls. And I've got to say, that little chain gang of raccoons and their black and white stripes is, like, so
adorable.
They are
kind of adorable raccoon prisoners, I guess.
Holding the prison door open and the tiny little raccoons come limping along because they're all connected by the ankle. Like,
aww, cute raccoons. Yeah, this is peak class warfare. Everyone's in jail. Nottingham is even taking donations to the church as taxes. It's got out of control.
Which made me think as an adult, all right, so they have a very, like, open plan prison going on here. Like, there aren't individual cells. It's like one big room. Can you imagine being stuck with all of your neighbors in an open floor plan prison cell? You know how you maybe talk over the fence, but then you go back in your house and have your space? Like, imagine being stuck with your most annoying neighbor in prison for...
Don't your neighbors listen to this podcast? I don't even know how long this is supposed to take.
Some of them do. No, I'm not saying, like, anyone specific.
I never really thought about the fact that it's an open plan jail, and that's kind of funny that they're all just sort of there.
It does make it easier to break out
that's
of,
true.
Which is where we're going with this. But, yeah, they're all just hanging out, like they're... They probably have to, like, pee in front of each other. That's embarrassing. You don't want to do that in front of your neighbors.
Because you don't. Mm. No. I did not think about the bathroom situation in an open floor plan prison. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very, very modern architecture going on in this prison.
Like, yeah. And then breaking out of prison and the whole heist is, it's sort of classic. Again, it's very simple for kids. Basically, Nottingham threatens to hang Friar Tuck. It gets kind of dark.
Yeah,
we're going to hang him.
They do a big arrest scene for that. And actually, Friar Tuck he's gone all fuck the police on the sheriff of Nottingham. Like, he is beating the crap out of him.
Yeah. But they basically threaten to hang him in order to draw Robin Hood out of hiding,
We've weaponized Friar Tuck in this one.
A little bit darker than Maid Marian's Gonna Kiss You. But yeah, it's...
Yes.
So it's a little bit dark. And kids, they don't get it. They don't know what hanging is. They don't care about death anyway, for the kids.
It added a level of stakes. You know, even if I didn't fully understand as a five-year-old what hanging meant, I understood that this is upsetting enough to Robin Hood that this is really bad. But they don't even wait. You know, it's like, we're gonna hang him at dock. Great. The heist starts immediately.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Yeah, no, we're not waiting till the last minute with this movie. Guys, we gotta be more organized with this. The second the sun goes down, ready for a heist.
The heist, everybody's getting out of jail. They also have a funny getting all the money from Prince John.
Well, so that time around watching it, and again, it's been 30 years. The purpose of the heist is we gotta save Friar Tuck. They're gonna hang him. Since it's an open floor plan prison, we might as well get everyone else while we're up here. But when they get to the prison, Robin's like, okay, Little John, you go get everybody, which is the whole purpose of this thing. I'm going to go over there and steal all the money, which is not the purpose of this thing. Just, you know, like a fun add-on.
He like did like an agenda add-on at the end of the meeting. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we have a little change in scope here.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
We're going to rob the whole prince's tower here. All right, so Little John goes up the side where all the prisoners are hanging out together. Robin's robbing the bedroom of Prince John, but they set up like a clothesline. He's tying the bags of money to it. That would weigh so much. These are the things that pop into my head as an adult, like, oh man, Little John's gonna have like a dead shoulder after just like that pulling motion to get that much weight across over and over and over again, like one of those repetition injuries.
I mean, you're thinking that, and I'm thinking like, wouldn't the fox just want to eat the bunny as a little heist snack?
Yeah,
they pretty much almost get away with it, but then the littlest bunny.
That useless little bunny. I think his name is actually Tagalog.
Oh, that's funny. Like, but then you know, then Robin Hood goes to save the bunny, you know, or eat him. I mean, I feel like you kind of get hungry after all that saving.
This poor mother already has so many kids.
Just eat them. It's fine.
Yeah, no, she's like, oh, my baby. And he's like, oh, God.
Well, is where as an adult we're getting towards the end of the movie. And, you know, even though it's only 83 minutes, but with your kids. And those are the kinds of thoughts that go through your head.
Yeah, you're like, there's so many rabbits in my yard right now. I could really use a fox.
You could use a Robin Hood fox that actually eats rabbits, doesn't befriend them.
Yeah. So, yeah, he comes out of the water and then he and the little bunny yell a bunch more insults. I think there's so much insulting of all rich people in this movie. Like, it's the class warfare, but there's something very satisfying for me when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, they just get to insult
everyone.
You're
like, fuck the tax man.
Yeah, you can just yell at the privileged people.
Great.
I like it.
I guess yelling insults is better than kidnapping someone and gaslighting them into being your wife, let's say, after they fall off a yacht. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like that.
But that's an acceptable gaslighting. But yeah, class warfare. Always here. This is the original.
We're always here for it.
And this is the original of it. So hurl that insult.
As children of the 80s, we were taught class warfare is funny. At this point, the movie just kind of skips to the end.
Yeah, and then it's a wedding, of course.
So, yeah, they just kind of have King Richard come back and it fixes everything. They make that outlaws and in-law joke for the second time, but Lady Cluck came up with that first.
That's true.
That's her gag.
Gotta give her the credit. She's funny and she's a ninja. I don't understand the purpose of Middle Ages where they had, like, maids for rich people that just sort of, I don't know, they just, like, chastity maids? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, there is a degree of, like, you're a servant, but you need someone to hang out with, so.
I think she's just sort of a chaperone, I guess. But I like her. I like her better than Maid Marian, so it's fine.
She's like the kooky aunt character. She absolutely gives the toys that make all the noises.
Oh, 100%. She's definitely giving weapons to children.
She would give a weapon to a child. Yeah. So we get the little wedding, and I don't know why they're taking Skippy the Rabbit with them on their honeymoon instead of Lady
Road trip snack.
You think they eat them?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Skippy, come along. You're a very important
seven-year-old. You're so cute. Come along. Sit between us.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to just dab you in butter. Just kidding.
Oh my God, that's so much better. They were playing a long game, like,
pretty much. I mean, this is where my adult mind wanders in these, when I get to this point in the movie.
You get a final shot of Prince John, the sheriff, and Sir Hiss are their own chain gang. They're breaking rocks by the side of the road, and they're black and white striped
outfits. Not as cute as the raccoons.
No, the raccoons were way cuter. And there's a couple of, like, I don't know, wrap it up comments. That, actually, the fact that, like, the movie ends on them being punished says so much more to me. Like, that as a kid, like, you wanted the bad guys to be punished more than you wanted Robin and Mary.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, because you don't care about the marriage. Like, I totally agree with that.
Don't.
Yeah, and even your kids,
like, want to see the bad guys.
Yeah, you do. You want to see the bad guys. My son gets a kick out of them in prison uniforms. It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
You totally do.
There is justice, but yeah.
Yeah, and you like how the class warfare ends kind of with the, you know, eat the rich, essentially.
Yeah. So that is the plot of Robin Hood. We probably talked about it more than the length of the movie actually lasts.
Possibly.
Here's something that's cringy, though. Disney is talking about making a live-action remake
of this very one? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I don't think that'll work. I'm going to, again, get out my shaking fist here and say, get off my lawn, to say what's charming about this is precisely because it's simple. I mean, I would say that that's something that's really great about it. We've sort of picked it apart and made it sound like it's not a great movie, but it's still, adults could watch this and still enjoy it. And I think part of it is that it's charming and it's not old in that it feels dusty or anything. If you try to dress it up, it's not going to really.
No, I think if they get a bunch of, like, CGI rabbits and CGI foxes, like, that's potentially annoying.
Yeah, I think this is just let it be in a way. And, like, the only way I think you could make it more interesting is if you do sort of lean into more Maid Marian to make that a better character. But this is one that they really like of the older Disney movies. There are other ones that they really don't, like Sleeping Beauty, Sword in the Stone. I'm giving this away now when we do these episodes potentially. But this one they still really like because it's the charming, it's an understandable story, but you got the class warfare in there. So I'd say that really holds us together for kids and for me too. I'm not watching this movie
and that,
like,
right,
oh,
there
God.
Is a win. No, I think, and we're
it is a
sliding
win.
Right into the things we think are good about this movie. It's not irritating to adult viewers, and that was my big question that made me suggest we watch this. It was funny enough, it was short enough, it's chaotic enough, but not irritating. So I think that is fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes that could be a negative for what you're saying, because we have we watched the Muppet movie for this podcast, and the Muppet movie is an incredibly enjoyable watch for an adult. And there's other ones, like the Willy Wonka movies, also from this era in the 70s, I think the same year. So there's a way to do kids' movies that adults could really love. And I'd say that this one, adults, you're going to like it, but you're not going to love it in the same way. It's just sort of not offensive to anyone, but it's not, like, wildly entertaining for adults.
I would agree
right
with that. Like,
middle.
It have adult humor tucked in it the way the Muppet movie did. And listen to the episode. Listen to us, like, gaping over Steve Martin's short shorts.
That's your closing thought.
No, I want my closing thought to be this. The Wikipedia page for Disney's Robin Hood has my all-time favorite line in anywhere, any page on Wikipedia. It says, "This movie was also one of the many inspirations for the then-emerging furry fandom."
Shut up. No, it isn't. And we've been talking about interspecies love this whole time. You buried the lead, Amanda.
Oh, I forget what episode we were talking about. It must have been Beauty and the Beast, but I made a furries convention joke, and that comes from my sister was a bridesmaid at a wedding where they were in a ballroom, and in the adjacent ballroom was, like, the National Furries Convention. And that during this wedding, like, the crowds kind of merged at one point. Like, I think they gave the bride, like, the head of a panda as, like, a gag gift.
Oh, my God. I don't like this movie being the origin story of someone's furry adventure.
I think it's hilarious that appears on the Wikipedia page. And I would like to believe that it was someone from the furries community who knew that historically and put that on the Wikipedia page. And Disney has not bothered to scrub that out. Oh, my God.
That's so weird.
But look how amused we are. Like, you can't see our faces, listeners.
Oh, my God. Well, because we were just talking the whole time about, like, foxes and lions.
Get a chicken, get it on with a bear.
Oh, my God.
We really want to see that pairing. And no, we don't literally.
I didn't read all of your notes ahead of time, so I was like, what did she ask? As you're talking, I was like, where is this in the outline? And I'm like, ew. I don't think you could ever top that. That's such a weird closing thought. Also, oh, and this was for furries. Okay, Jess, tell us about this kids movie score. So for those who are new to us, we're going to first score this from 1 to 10, 1 being garbage, 10 being Princess Bride. We're going to score it how we think it lives up for adults, and then we will score it for how we think it lives up to its intended audience, which is clearly younger kids today. Would you like to go first?
I would give this movie for adults a... I want to go 6.5. I'm like going 7.
Interesting.
I'm going to go 6. I'll go 6.
6. Yeah, so I actually went back and looked at some of our ratings or my ratings for previous younger kid movies just to sort of level set. So I'm going to go down the middle at a 5. I think I gave the Muppet Movie a 7 for adults, and I felt like it had to be at least a couple points off of that. So right in the middle, right in the middle there for a 5. So that's an 11.5.
I said 6, but I changed it. 6.5.
6.5, yeah.
Back to my original instincts.
6.5. Okay, next rating for kids. Again, 1 to 10, 1 being garbage, 10 being Princess Bride. So does it live up to kids today? And I'd say that the intended audience is younger kids. Certainly older kids could tolerate it for sure. My daughter's 11. She almost has a nostalgia for it now. You know, somewhere between 4 and 8, I think, is the intended audience. So, one interesting thing that I thought about for this is as I was watching it, I do, not to give away my score, but I do think this is one where perhaps for the first time, maybe the kid rating might be higher overall than the adult. Now that I've set you up, Amanda, what's your kid rating?
My kid rating is going to be a... I'm going to use the half score again. I'm going 7.5.
Okay, 7.5. And Amanda has a spreadsheet because she's an order Muppet. Yeah, so I'm going to go pretty high for this. I gave it a 9. And I think because similar to how I felt about Hook, although I loved Hook, as we know.
You did. I thought you went very high with your scores on Hook, but that's all I'll say about that.
Listeners, I gave Hook a 10 for kids. But the reason why I'm giving this one high is because I think it's also the introduction to the Robin Hood stories. And so when they do watch other stories or movies about Robin Hood, they're going to remember this one. And they like it so much. And so I think that my kids' enjoyment of this movie and me watching them enjoy it more just sort of knocked it up. I feel bad. I'm like heavily influenced by my own kids. So a 9, which I think is really up there for me. I think
it is, but it's, you know, it is a good movie, and you're right. It's an entry into what would become the trifecta of Robin Hood movies that were dashed all over our childhood.
Our total score. What's our total score?
That is our 4th highest score ever.
Really? So 28.
Oh, it's coming in behind. We have Edward Scissorhands was one of our highest with 29.5. Mm-hmm. We have The Muppet Movie was a 29. And we have Hook was a 29. So this is a 28. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped right over that. Beauty and the Beast was a 31. So this is our 5th highest.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the younger kids. So our other Disney movie was 31. This is 28. That makes sense. In a way, that might be a little high. I'm the one that pushed it high. And our kid rating, I think, so our kid rating was 16.5. I think that might be our highest kid rating.
You're right.
I mean, I think I could go with that. I mean, I think that this one, in my mind, was a higher lives up for kids today than maybe adults, which I think is the opposite, I think, of a lot of our scoring to date, where we have a nostalgia for it. We rank it higher for adults.
Yeah, well, I think we realized that a lot of the movies we were watching as kids were inappropriate and we shouldn't have been watching them.
Totally. This is the most appropriate one, I guess. But that's not the whole thing. So now we have to deem whether it lives up or not. It's a simple yay or nay vote. And Amanda and I each have to agree in order to have this officially live up for our podcast. And we have disagreed before.
And we have determined that if something lives up, it's got to be a hell yes, this lives up. It can't be a, I'm not sure, maybe it does or doesn't.
There have been some close calls where you and I have waffled. But
for me, since I set out with a specific, does this live up and is it irritating to adults? kind of frame of mind. I actually think this does live up. I think this is fun to rewatch as an adult. I had no problem rewatching this. It didn't get on my nerves. It was silly. It was fun. It was chaos. Like, yay. And it took me back to a special time in Sherwood Forest. So, yeah, it lives up for me.
It lives up for me, too. I'm going to give it a yay as well. It's not my favorite go-to, but, you know, it's a go-to for our family. It's something we could kind of agree on. So I think it definitely lives up. It's not cringy. It has the charm. Please don't ruin it, Disney, with a live action.
Yeah, it gets pandemic bonus points, and it has the funniest furry comment of any Disney movie on Wikipedia.
Oh, my God. Maybe just for that, it shouldn't live up. So listeners, you may disagree with us or think that we're wrong on certain points. So please let us know at LiveUpPod on all the socials. What did we miss? Was there something cringy? Do you love Maid Marian? I don't know. Let us know.
I'm shaking my head over here like, God, no, she's so bland.
Yeah, so let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. Thanks for listening.